We've been to the Dordogne so often, we figured it's time to travel on the Dordogne. On Chapter 111, we take a boat cruise in front of the amazing village of La Roque-Gageac.
There's also more Michelin news, and you'll hear about Jeff's little baseball hiccup.
I shall overcome! This is Jeff and Julie moved to France during a global pandemic.
Well, praise be. We actually received our notice that our carte de séjour is ready to be picked up at the prefecture.
Not only that, Julie, but we received news that we can pick up our respective carte de séjours at the same time. It's a miracle from God.
It can be done with perseverance. Yeah, on the application to renew, I specified that I really would like to be able to pick up the card at the same time as my husband. We live at the same address. We live 40 minutes away.
But what I think what you said in yes. that note is what cinched the deal.
Yes, because it's the carbon. It's the carbon tax.
It's the footprint.
It's the footprint, right. If we're taking two cars for two trips, we're polluting France. So they sent us in one envelope both notices that our cars were ready. Yours was on top of mine.
So when it came in, it looked like, I was on the address of the envelope as well. So when it came in, it looked like it was just mine.
It looked like it was just you. But, you know, it in France, I don't think it would ever be mine on top of yours.
No.
Pas en France.
No.
But so the good news is, you know, we've got 5 months before we have to file for our next renewal.
But you know what, about the men and women thing, the language is set up that way. So if there were 500 women in a building, it would be
elle. Yeah.
If there were 500 women and one man in that building, it would be
il.
See?
Yeah, you know, I do think France is a bit sexist, and I don't think it's improving.
Well, I mean, when we were talking about the Michelin chefs.
Yes.
It was a problem.
Far fewer females than male chefs, you know. And I have a really hard time not being Mrs. Your Name. They don't understand that I have a different name here.
No, they don't get that.
They absolutely don't.
Whereas in Quebec, which is really ironic to me, you have to actually pay to have your maiden name changed to your husband's name. Otherwise, it just reverts to your maiden name.
Yeah, you have to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, you'd have to hire a lawyer.
In order to legally change your name to take on your husband's last name.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, you were established with your name.
Yeah, we didn't get married when we were 12.
I don't care. Yeah. You know, it's fine. Yeah. So, yeah, it's very strange here, but that's the way it is, and they put my name on top, blah, blah, blah. But I also think that that's the way the address is set up with them. Who knows? Anyway, the bottom line is we get to go. Oh, and they didn't make the appointment for 20 minutes from now.
No, they gave us a week.
They gave us a week, so we're heading off there. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Heading off there tomorrow.
Yep, we have to be there between 11 and 11:30.
Yeah, only.
Bring all our documents.
Oh, yeah.
Our passport.
Oh, yeah.
Pen with black ink.
But we still have a question. But I don't think it matters now because I think your question was, can the document be filled out together, which we haven't been able to do.
No.
I think it's still worth asking because that shaves off a little time for you. But we still had to fill it out separately, even though now we can pick it up in the same
Yes.
breath.
Well, I think it's because they like to get their 225 euros from each person and not household.
Yep.
So that explains that.
Now, to the business at hand.
The real important stuff.
That's right. The baseball. Let me just set this up because I first of all just have to mention how cool this experience was last Saturday.
Yeah, you came back beaming. Like, you had such a good time. And you were saying that this is a group of very varied players.
Very diverse in terms of ability. So I get there, And everybody has heard that I'm coming. And I mean, it was really cute. There were about 9 guys showed up. And, you know, Jeremy, who runs the thing, holy cow, is this guy passionate about baseball. First of all, he's got one of the most gorgeous baseball swings I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And so you know right away that, and he's a very good coach. So here's the thing. This team consists of, first of all ages.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
And I'm going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
And all abilities.
Clearly.
So there are some hotshot kids there, like 22, 23, who can throw the ball a ton, can field, can hit, like just massacre the ball. That's kind of intimidating for the league play because they are hitting that ball hard. And if I'm playing in the infield, I better be on my toes. But the other thing is they had a beginner. Like they had a beginner on the team. And he's on the team.
That's great.
I know. It's wonderful. He's also a young kid. He gets himself in front of the ball, so he's not afraid of the ball. And he's being mentored by Jeremy, and Jeremy's spending all kinds of great quality time with him. We did lots of drills. We did, you know, stealing drills, stealing off a left-hander, stealing off a right-hander. We did, grounders. Then they put me out in the field, and that's where the problem happened. We'll get to that in a second. But the one guy, Christoph, who is going to, I just know he's going to become a great friend. So I'm going to put him in his 50s somewhere.
Okay.
And he goes, it is so nice to have you on the team.
Oh.
I know. And I said, well, thank you. And he goes, because I'm no longer the oldest guy.
That's good. That's good.
I know. It was just. I just loved that. And then I got hurt, of course. So they put me out in the field. I don't know what to do out there. I can't judge the ball. It's embarrassing. I caught a couple, and I'm running in. And this is like right at the end of the practice. I'm doing really well. I'm running in, and I sort of half dive, but my left leg comes forward and hits the ground, and pink.
Oh no.
Hammy.
Yeah. But Jeff, wouldn't you agree that like when you're of a certain age, not that I want to like pine on that, but and you go and go play a sport for the first time in a year, like when you used to go play hockey for the first time or baseball for the first time, it's pretty normal to have a light injury.
Yeah, and I mean it's still sore, and we have quite a schedule this weekend, so I don't know what to do. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna take it really easy at practice on Saturday, but we have 2 games on Sunday. Now they're probably 5 or 7 inning games,
mm-hmm.
and you've decided to come along. I'm sure for the laughs.
I think it's gonna be fun. I'd like to meet your teammates, and I've never been to Pessac, and so that'll be a nice drive. But you know because your team doesn't have a baseball diamond yet, you have to travel pretty far to go and compete.
And I think each time we go, I noticed on the schedule we play 2 games and then the other 2 teams play 1 game. And I think that's the reason why. We don't have a home field, so we're playing home and away.
Right,
at the same time. So, it's going to be good. We've got some characters on our team and I'm telling you, they love the game. And holy cow, there are 4 or 5 guys on this team who are, including Christoph, who are just animals and hit the ball a ton. I can't wait. I doubt that I'll be catching because they've got that slot filled up with a couple of guys, but I do want to catch Noah, who's got apparently 5 or 6 pitches. This kid can throw a fastball, a splitter, a curveball, a changeup, and a knuckleball. There's 5 pitches right there. Huh. So I really would love to just catch him, even just warm up. But otherwise, I'm going to be at second base, and we'll see how long last.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty rare to have French people, originally from France, playing the game and loving the game.
Oh, it's like they don't take it for granted that they can play it. You know what I mean? Like in Canada, you go out to practice. Hey, how's it going? It's loosey goosey.
Yeah.
It is with them too. But I'm telling you, it's like he's got the practice all lined up for these 2 hours. And so here's the other funny thing. I get home, and of course, I'm on the internet. How do you handle a hamstring injury? And You know, everybody's weighing in, and you should do hot, and then you should do, you know, ice. And Julie says to me, "Oh, that's perfect. When we're watching TV, you can we got a bag of peas." I go, "Oh, excellent. That's right. We got a bag of peas." And that is a really good way, because unlike big cubes, it wraps kind of right around mm-hmm. the injury.
Yep. It's malleable.
What you didn't tell me was that it was an open bag of peas.
With a clip.
With a clip. And so I go into the freezer. I come out. I didn't notice it. I throw it on the underside of my my hamstring there. And we start watching TV. We finish watching TV. I look over and there's a pile of peas on the couch. Just a pile of peas. Oh,
disaster. Catastrophe.
This is why you have dogs.
Yes. But it's amazing that the sport didn't catch on, because in World War One, but all the soldiers that were coming from America brought their bats, their gloves, their balls, and they started playing baseball here in France.
Oh, yeah.
And the French troops started joining in, and the army was thrilled about that because it developed their physical fitness. It also helped them throw hand grenades. It improved their aim.
Oh, okay.
But you know, there's still only 14,000 amateur baseball players in all of France.
But there are some guys who are in the minor leagues of Major League Baseball right now from France. I like it's more than a handful.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, that's good. Well, baseball brings me to the French phrase of the day.
Yay!
Now this one is translated. It's a Yogi Berra.
Oh, then I'll know. I won't even need to. I bet you I don't even need to see it if it's a Yogi Berra.
Okay.
Do you know that I had the rare opportunity of interviewing Yogi Berra in Montreal?
I remember that.
Where we met.
Yep.
And that would have been many years ago. Yeah, what a wonderful man. Like, just a. Do you know that I think Yogi Berra has, it's either 10 or 12 World Series rings?
Really?
Little Yogi Berra?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. Wow.
Well, here is one of his sayings.
Mm-hmm.
Le baseball est 90% mental. L'autre moitié, c'est physique.
Okay. So baseball is 90% mental. The other part?
Half. Moitié.
Oh, the other half is mm-hmm. physical. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Le baseball est 90% mental.
The other half
L'autre
is
moitié, c'est physique. He was priceless. Wasn't he the one who also said something like, if you find a fork in the road, take it?
Take it.
Anyway, that is the French phrase of the day.
Oh, I remember one. Oh, yeah. Somebody was asking him about this nightclub in New York, and he says, yeah, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
he was just priceless.
I think one of my favorite lines that came from a baseball player, and I'm not sure if it was Yogi Berra, but some guy got married, and he got married in the morning, and it was either Yogi or somebody else said, why'd you get married in the morning? And a guy said, well, if it didn't work out, I didn't want to blow the whole day. Love that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's where we're at with the whole baseball thing. Great to bring Yogi into the French phrase of the day as well.
Yeah.
Oh, something I read from the home front back in Canada. So a little bit of a different thing here with bottle returns in France when it comes to booze.
Mm-hmm.
So in Canada, we return our beer bottles, we return our booze bottles. There's a premium put on it, and then when you return it, you get the money back.
That's right.
It's a refund.
That's right.
Okay. They don't do that here in France.
No.
In France, everything just goes to the recycler.
Yep.
Beer bottles, wine bottles, the whole thing.
Yep. There's a special recycler bin for glass.
Yeah. Well, I just read this, and I am just gobsmacked by this statistic, okay? This is just Ontario, okay? If you ever wondered about the popularity of drinking in Canada, wonder no more. There were 1.7 billion beer and booze containers returned to the beer store in 2023. 1.7 billion with a B.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot. You know, when we used to play hockey at the Triple Rinks in Hamilton, this was in the good days when you could drink in the dressing room after your practice or your games. And the deal was at the Triple Rinks that you could bring you could drink in the dressing rooms with your beer as long as you left your beer bottles there. And so the rink rats, when they cleaned up the dressing room, they would take those empties and stack them in the no longer used curling rink. And at the end of the year, they would call the LCBO, the beer store, and the beer store would send a truck over to pick up the bottles. Huh. Do you know how much money those kids made from those beer bottles on a yearly basis?
$10,000.
Between $15,000 and $20,000.
Wow.
We were told. Wow. And you could see them. Like, you'd come in and you'd go, that's a wall of beer bottles and cans. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, that's when things were normal. Anyway. We went on a nice little trip. Let's
talk
about
that.
Yeah,
we went back to La Dordogne. It's such a beautiful area, and there's so much to see. I mean, it's one of the most visited areas in southwestern France. And La Roque... Gajac is a tiny little village, only 450 inhabitants, and some of them live in pretty scary houses because they're butted up against the cliff, which sometimes crumbles. It did back in the 1950s and killed people and crushed houses, so it's not a great place to live. But in front of it are 200-year-old buildings all along the Dordogne River with shops and restaurants and terraces. It's just beautiful no matter where you look.
Yeah. I was just popping off shots the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll love the Facebook page this week at Jeff and Julie Moved to France, because we'll talk about our little boat cruise, because the boat cruise, the Dordogne's right in front of the village, so obviously the boat goes up and down the Dordogne in that area, and you're just it's click 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 click, and so you're right, Julie, you can look at the river, or you can look at the cliffs, or you can look at the architecture. You're right, no matter where you look, it's a view.
It's stunning. It's really stunning. So we did take the boat ride.
Yep.
And it's a flat bottom boat because of the way the river flows. There are some parts that are only 9 meters deep in the wider parts of the river. And so we took Gabard Norbert. And
Norbert.
Norbert, yeah. And, you know, at this time of year, I mean, we're in early April, there aren't as many tourists as July and August. So we were able to just walk up, buy a ticket, and get on board. But, you know, there were quite a few people.
There were 25 people on the boat already, and it was not a nice day. Like, it was sunny, but it was only about 15 degrees.
A little chilly,
and windy and stuff, so it was chilly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and holy cow, the guy who was doing the tour was amazing. I couldn't understand him, but he sounded amazing.
Well, he's passionate
about
history and about his job. And he said, you know, he started off by saying, I have the most beautiful office in the world. And the crew was also really, really good. They were just, I think, three of them on the boat. But he went on to talk about the history of the river and what they used to ship from that area into Bordeaux. So they used to ship wine, wood, oak, to make barrels down the river. And then they would bring back, you know, most likely salt, because that's how they used to preserve food with salt back in the day. And he just loves going down the river and seeing the beautiful vistas. So as we're leaving the village, there's a chateau, and it's called the Chateau Malartrie. And he explains that it's a new chateau. It's not like the Chateau Castelnau. It's 200 years old. And it's privately owned, and he says that it can be rented out. So, I guess for a certain price, a group of people can rent out a chateau and live, you know, in the middle of this beautiful scenery. And then he showed us buildings that are right close to the chateau, and that's where in the olden days they used to house the sick people. They used to put the lepers and people who had contagious diseases there. And that's kind of how malartrie came, the name came, because sick people is maladie. So malartrie kind of morphed from maladie. And then we, back on the right bank, because everything's on the right bank of the Dordogne when you're going down it in our direction, was Le Manoir Malartrie. And do you remember we actually stayed there?
Yes, I do. And that was really one incredible spot. I mean, because it's walking distance to Le Roc Gageac.
Yes.
Which apparently we did. Now, when you pointed out, hey, that's the little path that we would take back to the hotel.
Yeah.
It all clicked in. It all clicked in. Even though things have changed. Like we were at a restaurant there for a coffee at the end of the day. And that wasn't there when we were there. I don't believe.
I can't remember the exact date. At least 10 years since we visited Vézac.
It's longer than that.
Yeah. But I remember some shops when we used to walk along there. But now it's really ramped up. That's how that village makes its money. It's tourism. So there are more restaurants. Everything has been spruced up.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm not sure if the same couple run that beautiful hotel. It's a really great, I don't know. And I also don't know what the cost is anymore, but it's a great spot. And I'll never forget. We loved it. We were in this area. We loved it. It was such a good choice. We got it from the Rick Steves book, I believe.
That's right. Yeah.
That guy never steers us wrong. We've always used Rick Steves for our travel. In terms of hotels and stuff. So we get there and we said, this is beautiful. And we were there, I think, in May. And she said, yeah, it's beautiful now. But in July and August, this road out here is bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
So, and that would be the one drawback of heading to a place like Le Roc Gageac in prime season. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. And the young lady that we were talking to
at the restaurant.
Was saying that it's better to come at night during the summer because there's less traffic.
Yeah.
So clearly the traffic is an issue. And apparently the Dordogne is filled with boats and canoes and paddlers. And, mm-hmm. and so it's just a busier time to go. I prefer going off season myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like this is a little chilly right now, but May or September, even June, you can't beat it. It's just, I'm telling you, it's just an amazing time to tour France. It was really cool because this was a 50-minute boat thing, perfect amount of time as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. They run you up the river and boom, the boat tour turns around right at Castelnau, which is where we were last week.
Yes.
So we got some reverse photos of the chateau from last week, chapter 110.
Right. Yeah. No. And then we come all the way back, and it was such a smooth boat ride, and so informative. So if you're in that area, I definitely think that that's a thing to do.
Absolutely. And again, just beware of July and August.
Time now for another Paris 2024 Olympic update.
There are some useful apps that people will be able to use in Paris during the Olympics.
Ah, you knew that was coming.
Yes. So they call this VTCs, which is Voiture de Tourisme avec Chauffeur. So that includes Uber, the Uber app. They've got another app called Bolt.
Oh, this is an aggregator app that has all these apps within it?
No, they call, in general, Voiture de tourisme avec chauffeur.
Okay, sorry.
So with a driver. There's another one called Heech. You can pretty much get a fair price for a ride. But they do escalate. I remember that back in Canada when we were Ubering. Like if you're going during prime time, mm-hmm. the rates do go up. They've got a wonderful bike system, Les Vélos, and the app is called Vélib. And you can hop on. They're mint green bikes with gray racks, and you can hop on, get to your destination, and park it on another rack. So that's if you're traveling around. There are apps for food. There's, you know, the what we know, Deliveroo and Uber Eats. But there's also the fork, which used to be La Fourchette. and we've used the fork to book restaurants. I mean, they've got 40,000 restaurants across France. And it comes with ratings and opinions and photos and lots of special offers. But the one thing that I discovered is that they get a commission from the restaurants when you book through the fork. So if we can, we prefer to phone in our reservation.
So it doesn't cost the restaurant anything.
Exactly. But for people who don't speak French.
Yeah, it's the best way.
It's the best way to go. Then there's another app called Mr. Goodbeer. And that's it helps you.
Tell me more.
It helps you locate the cheapest pints.
Oh, okay.
Near you. Then there's another one called Ici Toilette.
Oh.
So if you're caught and it's an urgent matter, you can go to the app and find where the nearest bathroom is. And then there's another app called DeepL, and we'll have to try that. It's kind of like Google Translate, but apparently it's better, and it helps you find it helps you translate idioms and sentences and words from French to English.
Speaking of from French to English, something that we forgot to mention with our baseball talk was you were so kind. On my way out the door to my baseball practice on Saturday, Julie hands me a glossary of baseball terms from English to French. And I have some of them. I've been studying them, and
yes.
I have some of them in my head, but it was really kind of cool. And then I found out that for the most part, so you were teaching me balle courbe, right? That's curveball.
Yep.
But for the most part, the French players will use the English terminology for things like curveball, fastball, that
knuckleball.
Kind of yeah, that kind of thing. But it was really cool. There are other things in there that they would use in French. So thanks for that.
Okay.
Maybe there's an app for that.
We had a lot of cleanup to do a couple of days ago. Our cars were covered.
Caked is a good word.
Yeah. Outdoor furniture covered in small, tiny particles of, I want to say, orangish dust.
And was it right after I power washed all of the furniture outside? Yes, it was.
Was it after I got the car cleaned?
Yes, it was. It always is.
And we have the Sahara Desert to blame.
Can you believe that?
That's pretty crazy.
Now, this is the second or third time this has happened to us in 4 years.
But this was a serious episode. Like, they were warning some departments that not to go outside, especially if you have asthma or have breathing issues.
You can see it. Like, it was a fog.
Yeah, and they're tiny, tiny little particles that you inhale. But it happens when there's strong winds, and it
churns up the desert, and then it gets up. Well, remember, I think it was last summer or the summer before, we were experiencing smoke smell from Canada.
Yes.
From the Canada forest fires.
Yeah.
And, it gets up in
the atmosphere.
In the jet stream, and boom, it gets here somehow, and it's the same with the Sahara Desert dust.
Yeah. We were lucky that we had, well, I don't know if we were lucky, but
I know what you're going to say.
We had a strong rainstorm shortly after, which cleaned things up somewhat.
Yeah. So, gee, we had a strong rainstorm. What are the chances?
It's been this year, I know.
It's been a very wet year. Very wet year. But so it's funny. You can look it up, and there was maps and everything showing the stream of this dust, and it kind of covered most of Europe, actually, at some point.
Spain got impacted the most because it's kind of the closest to.
Yeah.
And then it moved up all the way into Scandinavia.
Yeah.
So it's a factor, and it's blamed on global warming. So we probably will have more of these throughout the season.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take a little Sahara dust storm over an ice storm any day.
I hear you.
Yeah. Hey, I thought we were done with the Michelin talk,
I know. I hated to bring it up because I know you're sick
of it.
The Michelin.
But this is worth yapping about.
Well, it made the news. Michelin now has a hotel rating system, and it's Michelin Keys.
And not stars.
Not stars.
Yeah.
Michelin keys. And they awarded 24 three-key awards to hotels in Paris, but also across France.
But just France so far.
So they're rolling out their announcements. This has been a long time coming. So they'll be doing the U.S. at the end of this month. Then they'll be doing Spain, Italy, Tokyo, and other destinations. So the whole point that they're making is that it's not like other travel...
Like hotels.com or something like that.
Yeah, because those ratings are typically provided by the consumer. By the customer,
right.
So they can be erratic and subjective. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you've got experts going to hotels, you can get a standardized assessment of hotels. Whether it's a hotel in France, whether it's a hotel in Tokyo, you will get the same assessment of,
because they
of
are going to have a criteria from which to work.
Yes.
And that's where they're going to come up with their number.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So they did 24 three keys in France, 38 two keys, and 127 one key and we've actually been to two of the one keys.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Do you know which ones they are?
Would it be that one? No, I don't think it would, because the hotel was in kind of rough shape, but the meal was amazing.
Are you thinking of Marquez?
Yes.
They did. They were awarded a key.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought they needed a lot of work over there, but that's fine. I mean, the restaurant is a Michelin restaurant, right?
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but they award their keys based on how the stay is, you know, its service, its ambiance.
Well, and that particular chateau also houses a vignoble, like a...
Yeah, it's a winery as well.
It's a winery, yeah.
Yeah. And the other one was in Saint-Emilion.
Oh, of course.
That was great. Yeah.
Beautiful. Now, the food was wacky in that Michelin restaurant. I'm just not into the whole Michelin scene when it comes to the restaurants.
Yeah.
I'm just not.
But
the hotel was pristine.
Yeah. So it's going to become a site where you can actually book facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelin will be receiving a commission from 10% to 15% if you're booking through their site.
Okay.
So, but again, it's like the fork. I'm not sure if I want to do that to the hotel.
Oh, no, it'll be worth it for those people. They benefit from being a Michelin star or Michelin key hotel.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's the price you pay, right?
Yes,
that's the same thing. But yeah, I mean, I like the idea. To me, it makes a little more sense on the hotel side, actually, than it does on the food side, because the food side is just wacky. It's just, to me, it's overpriced. The dishes are weird, you know, or can be. I don't know. When we went to that one, I don't know where it was. It was just weird food, and it was really expensive. I can't.
Yeah.
It's folded now. I don't even remember. Stacy and John.
Yeah, it sometimes they get a little too creative.
Yeah. And then they delivered the food and the chef comes out and wants to talk. It's like, "Hey champ, I just want to eat your food now. Okay, I don't want to have a conversation."
Yeah.
It's weird.
And there are other things that made the news this week. Gabriel Attal announced that he is thinking of imposing une taxe lapin.
Isn't that a rabbit?
It is a rabbit. Une taxe lapin. So,
well, they've got a tax on everything else. Why not tax rabbits? Is that what it means? They're taxing rabbits?
No.
Oh.
No. So they want to have a fee for people who don't keep their medical appointments.
Oh.
So, and it comes from an old saying called poser un lapin, which used to mean back in the late 1880s when someone didn't pay for a young lady's service. They just ran.
Oh.
And it, again, it just morphed into poser un lapin. So, these days, you can use it when you've set up an appointment with a friend to meet at a bar or whatever for coffee.
Right.
And you don't show up.
And what do they say?
poser un lapin. So la taxe lapin, he's proposing, would be €5 uh-huh. if you've made an appointment
right.
For medical service and you don't show.
Amazing.
Guess how many they claim, I don't know how they got this figure, guess how many medical appointments were not kept in 2023?
I don't know.
27 million.
Okay. Well, you know what? Then I think they have a point.
Yeah. And €5 is not so, you know...
onerous. Yeah.
Onerous. That. But I think it will be enough that people will think twice about not calling to cancel an appointment. Yes.
It's rude. It's someone's livelihood.
And not only that, but it's hard enough to get a doctor in
yes.
France. So you're taking someone else's place.
That's right.
And that's not right.
I'm all for the rabbit tax, Julie. I'm all for the rabbit tax. That is it for today's show. Join us next week for another adventure on Chapter 112 of Jeff and Julie Moved to France During a Global Pandemic.
À bientôt.